Hey, welcome to yet another special I Call People episode. I talk in caveman hieroglyphics. I Call People episode of Bob Saget's Here For You. And I'm Bob Saget, and I'm here for you. I am. I mean, I can't get in my car and come over because you probably live far. But I don't know if I would anyway because, you know, we don't know each other. But we're going to after these phone calls. I really appreciate you guys calling in on days like this because you are my special guests. So this is where you rate, review, you subscribe, you say nice stuff. If you don't like it, you know, why do that? Why be a hater? You know, I'm a good person. Anybody that says that, by the way, watch out for them. Anybody that says I'm the best, they're not. So anybody that says I'm not that great, they might be right. Or they're awesome. Well, we've solved that. Well, I just was checking my Twitter, and what I do is I announce on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook now when I'm going to call people. And then I have a phone number, which you can see right up there at the top of the menu of this podcast. And I just looked, and this person named Jessica said, I'm waiting for your call here, Bob. So I'm going to try her. It's Maria and Jessica, I believe. But I'm going to give a call and see if they answer, which would be pretty awesome. So when people answer, it makes it a much better show.
Hello,
is this Jessica?
It is Jessica.
It's Bob Saget. I'm right here. I'm right here. I swear.
Hi.
Thank you for being so patient. I didn't realize, and then I was recording, and then I looked at my Twitter, and there it is. You know, I'm waiting for your call, Bob. So I was like...
Maria is here with me as well.
Excellent.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Maria. How are you guys doing? Where are you? What city are you in?
We're in Edmonton.
Oh,
Canada.
I love it there. I haven't performed in a while.
I know. I actually booked you. I was the marketing manager at a casino, and we booked you to play there one year.
Oh,
and our friend toured with you.
Where was it? Was it at the River Cree?
Yeah, memory.
Good memory. It was at the River Cree.
Yeah, I know. Every gig I have is like a date, so I kind of have not. I guess I haven't dated that much in my life, but I've done.
Well, you obviously didn't ask me on a date when we were there.
No,
it would have been a great date.
I apologize.
What is taking you to the water park?
I don't go to water parks because that was before we were worried about droplets. You know, before people in Miami were in pools giving God knows what to each other. So it's crazy. So how's Edmonton affected by what's going on?
You know what? It's not that bad here right now. We have restaurants open. Our movie theaters are open. We actually were the city that the NHL playoffs were in. So they made a big bubble downtown that all of the teams were playing all of the games in our arena. And all the restaurants were reserved for them and they weren't able to kind of go in and out. So we're doing okay. Schools are open and it's actual in-class schools and not virtual.
Right.
Which I know in the States, it's not really like that.
Yeah, because we didn't do all the stuff you guys did. I mean, we have a lot of people here that don't believe it exists, COVID exists. So, you know, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
When you get a rally and have 10,000 people in it. But do people wear masks when they go to an event?
Yes, it's mandatory to wear a mask here.
Yeah, people here don't agree. You know, they're like, you're taking away my freedoms. It's like, what?
I know, it's bizarre. I know.
It's like saying if everybody's feet got cut off, oh no, don't stop the bleeding. It's not real. My foot didn't get cut off. So it's like, just let me walk on my pegs.
People are crazy. They just need to do it so we can get this over with.
Correct. And then we'll have a vaccine and then people will get it and pharmaceutical companies will make a ton of money off of it and people will get well. And we hope that it'll be one that it doesn't reoccur that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Now it says here in the notes from my producer that you had a mention of the Yankee Doodle Boy and John Stamos's hair. That's what you, because I always say, what do you want to talk about on my voicemail? Is that what you guys wanted to talk about?
that of all of quarantine, I think the highlight for me was seeing Yankee Doodle Boy in the reboot of Fuller House.
We felt the same way. And I was very happy I was there. And for one thing, he is incredibly delightful. He became this really great artist. He's a great singer and dancer. And that's what he was doing as a 7-year-old or 10-year-old. I don't know how old he was when he was on the original Full House. And he couldn't stop tap dancing and singing. They really used him well in that episode. It was such a nice homage to the Yankee Doodle Boy, which we called him. We called him that. That was not the name of his character, you know.
Do you really think that he should have beat Michelle, though?
Yeah.
Honest question. Way better.
No, I don't think that. No, she's my kid, you know.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what? She was better than the Statue of Liberty.
I agree.
She was a great Statue of Liberty.
She was... I forgot so much of this. You know, you remember all of it, right? Because you're the age group for
too
it,
much.
Right?
Like, we probably we probably quote Full House on a daily basis.
Well, that's the thing is, people are, they need a refuge. So that was mindless fun television with some morality plays. It's Blake Ewing, and he was born in 85. And
that's when we were born. 85.
There you go. You're
great
the same
year.
Age. And you know what it says on YouTube? It says Full House Yankee Doodle Boy. That's what it says. It says Yankee Doodle Dandy. There's different guys that do this, but he was Blake's a really, really nice guy, and he was hilarious. And then John Stamos's hair, I will tell you, it's infuriating. I can't take it anymore. A couple weeks ago, he FaceTimed me. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to hear from John. That's nice. And I'm like looking like crap. I've got like, you know, I don't know. It's late at night. I'm not shaved. I got a robe on. I look like a Quentin Tarantino in Pulp Fiction, you know? And Stamos, 11 o'clock at night on like a Tuesday, he looks amazing. He's like, what are you doing, a photo
Wallet.
Shoot? And he goes, no, I'm just hanging at home. I'm like, well, I hate you. I hate you. Look at you. What's wrong with you? Go draw with a marker on your face or something. He's a good guy. Well, stay healthy, and it sounds like you're doing good, and I really appreciate the call. It's really sweet, so thank you, guys.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was sweet. I'm calling Frank now. Frank's kids are going back to school, apparently, and I want to see what's up with that. And see where he lives. I don't know this area code.
Hello?
Hey, Frank. Bob Saget here.
No way.
I swear, you called. It's me. How you doing, man?
Oh, my God. I was honestly cursing myself because I missed your first call.
No worries.
And I was
worries.
Like, no way. I missed my chances with Danny Tanner, Bob Saget, the man himself.
Oh, thank you. No, there's no way I'd let you go. So how are you? Where are you, Frank?
I'm in Woodbridge, Ontario. It's about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes north of Toronto.
Oh, I know exactly right? Where. I'll be coming back into town the next year or two, and I'll probably do the Queen Elizabeth or someplace there that seems fun.
Oh, beautiful.
So
theater.
When
absolutely
I'm there,
beautiful
come
theater.
Backstage, we'll take a social picture. It would be great.
I would love to bring a wife to it. Like,
done and done.
No word of a lie. Like,
have you been in quarantine or is it kind of lighter? I just talked to some lovely Canadian girls that were in Edmonton. So, and they've sounded like things are kind of back to normal with social distance and masks and all that.
Well, we're doing masks and social distance, but I was deemed essential. I'm a construction superintendent, so I was working the entire time.
Wow.
You know, my wife was working from home with the kids, and she was going through a lot with the kids. And I was working. The only days I've had off were the statutory holidays, and I took a week vacation a few weeks ago with my wife and my family. So
I'm glad you got that. Well, thank you. Thank you for working your tail off during this crazy time.
No.
That sounds like the wife.
That is the wife, actually. Hold on a second. Let me grab it.
Hello. Say hi to Bob Saget.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not kidding.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing? Thanks for being a great mom while Frank was being safe doing construction craziness.
Yeah, thank you. It's been hard, but...
It is challenging. Well, you're to be commended, because that's one of the hardest jobs of all.
Yeah. Mom or construction?
No.
But, yeah, actually, I would say being a mom or a dad, if you're with kids all the time, it's hard.
I'm going to have to do that.
It's a challenge. And they're how old are your kids?
9 and 5.
9 and 5. That's adorable, actually. But that is a handful, right?
No, it's not, Bob. It is not.
No. It's not Michelle and Stephanie Tanner.
No, it's not.
It's
Oh, man.
It's Chucky and...
It's rough.
Do they need a Danny Tanner talk? Do they need me to sit them down? And
we're Italian, so we curse every so often, so a Danny Tanner talk wouldn't work so well.
If you know my comedy, I curse every so often, too. So.
I love your comedy personally.
Thank you.
You made not so much a Danny Tanner.
I can be either. It's the angel and devil on my shoulders, but I mean well. So now they're going...
Honestly, I'd love...
Go ahead, Frank.
For the kids, we'd love to have you give a talk like the way you did at Rodney Dangerfield's roast. That will settle them down.
Yeah, I got in trouble at that because it was like I said that he answers the door and his balls are hanging out of his safari shorts like janitor's keys, if I recall.
I remember that line. My favorite line of the entire roast is when you said, you're like, Rodney, I'm going to do it because I love you. And by the time mine comes around, they're going to dig your dead ass up and you're going to roast me like the son of a bitch that you are. And then Paul Rodriguez came up and he said, you did nothing for me, Rodney. And it was like, I remember that roast vividly. It was one of my favorites.
Well, Rodney was a special guy. Rodney was really good to young comedians and cared a lot. And he taught me a lot. He taught me a lot. He was a funny man, damn it. A funny guy.
I grew up watching him as well. My father was a big fan.
Right.
Like, he still is a big fan. He's still, my dad's still with us. He loves Rodney. Like, and we always joke because he kind of resembles him a little bit.
Oh, that's funny.
We joke around like, yeah.
Well, Rodney came from a real place. I mean, he really did feel no respect. I mean, he changed his name 3 times. So, I mean, he started as Jacob Cohen, and then he was Jack Roy.
Yeah.
And then he had another name mixed in there, and then a club owner called him Rodney Dangerfield out of nowhere.
My dad still bright, like still says, he goes, like whenever we're confused about something, he'll always say, hey, a guy who didn't make it until he was like in his 40s was Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, in Caddyshack, Caddyshack was his first big movie. He was 58.
Yeah, like, and my dad says, because he was a guy that was an older man that made it. So never think time's up.
That is accurate, and that's what we've got going on in this country right now with our candidates and Joe Biden. People are concerned of his age and what has he accomplished, and it's like people don't realize maybe this is his time, maybe this is, you don't know. I mean, I've got stuff to do. I'm 64. I got stuff to do in the next 20 years. I want to make a bunch of movies as a director. I've got stuff that is different than stuff I've done or like stuff I've done. I mean, I shot Dirty Work, directed that in Toronto, and I loved it. And we're working on getting.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, I loved it. I love being part of that and directing that. And all those Norm MacDonald and Artie and Chris Farley. And I have one question for you, Frank. Your kids, I am told on this note, are going back to school. So is this accurate?
Yes, my daughter actually, because they started in different days, my daughter started last Friday, my son starts tomorrow. My daughter, she just wanted to see her friends. My son, you give him a tablet with whatever video game or whatever, he's fine. My daughter, she was missing her friends, and she really wanted to go back. So she's actually happy to be back. We told her, please be careful, all that stuff. It's getting used to,
And what's your wife's name?
Lillian
must be pretty happy from what you guys are telling me about your kids. She must be thrilled that they're going back to school.
Well, just because they're cooped up, too, that's the thing. It's,
yeah, they're not meant to be. That's not how people are made.
Like, especially for us, when this all started, it was our, you know, Canada, we got our own, in Ontario, we have our own spring break called March break. So, it happened the Friday before March break, where kids are off for a week, and then they go back, they come home. They stay home, and they go back to school. And, you know, it was a March break that was 6 months long. You know, and they miss their friends, and they miss,
yeah.
You know, we miss the routine, but they miss their friends. They miss seeing people. They miss interacting more. You know, you can only do FaceTimes and Zoom chats so often.
No, they're not meant to be that way. And that's been the problem here in this country. And if we had done the right measures like you guys did, we wouldn't be in the predicament we're in, which is kids will go there and give it to the teachers because kids can carry it. And we have so many deniers here and so many people that go, you're taking away my human rights, that it's just really unfortunate that we didn't run it right. And it trickles down from the top. So it's interesting. Jim Gaffigan's a friend, and I watched an old bit of his that he posted on his Instagram, and he was saying he was doing a show in Canada in a theater, and I don't know if you've seen it, but he said, well, a lot of people said, if things aren't good in America and we're not happy where things are, we'll just move to Canada. And then he said, I don't remember being invited.
It's like, I remember that joke.
It's a great joke. And the crowd cheered because Canada did not say, hey, unhappy Americans, if you really hate your government, move here. No, there's no invite.
No, it's true. And although he is welcome, you know, in our family, we love him. We, you know, from his hot pockets jokes and the high pitched voices of that he should eat something or not. We love him. So we're fans.
Yeah.
He's welcome here. You know, I'm actually disappointed with this whole COVID from what I heard and what I read online and in local news, he was supposed to play Rob Ford, our Toronto's former mayor, Rob Ford.
Right.
And that whole thing, that whole program got canceled. And like my wife and I, we were looking forward to it to just see how Jim would play it, you know?
Right.
So, what can you do? Like we were looking forward to that and we heard all this thing and it got kiboshed once, you know, COVID hit and everyone had to go home and, you know, quarantining and all that stuff. So
he's very talented on many, many levels. And, you know, he got a little political recently and it was actually pretty wonderful. He spoke his mind and he's
honestly no complaints.
I know he's a wonderful guy. I'm doing a benefit for scleroderma, which is a disease of the skin, and my sister died from it. And he's always been there. He's performed for me. He's doing a special video for me for a virtual benefit we're doing next month. He's just a wonderful guy, and he just wants to make people happy. But he also has his deep felt feelings that he's been holding in, and it's like I was happy to hear him curse, you know.
Really. I saw it as well after you mentioned it. I looked up the rant and it was, you know what, say what you got to say, man. You can't always be, especially for him, you can't always be hot pockets and cracking jokes. If it's bothering you, let it out because, you know, bad vibes, all that stuff, it's toxic. It'll bring you down, tear you apart.
And he's a communicator. And when you're a communicator, a lot of times things that you have to say are to the masses. And he's got his big audience and people think, oh, you're going to lose your audience. And he just said, I don't care. I've got to say this because he cares about the future. He's got five kids. He cares about their future.
Yeah.
So that's where that's coming from. And other people disagree and they have a right to disagree. You know, that's what this country is. And that's what your country is. You have a right to disagree, but I don't know.
Of course.
We just didn't run it right. But hopefully we will, and we'll all get out of this, and I'll come back, and you guys will come backstage, and you'll have a babysitter, so you don't have to bring your rugrats that you can't stand anymore.
we still love them.
I know you love them, but you can't stand them.
Good Lord, man. Listen, Bob. This is where I want to file a class action lawsuit against Full House and the creators of Full House because you guys made it seem like everything was perfect and everyone hugs at the end.
Right, right. And we can't even hug now. We can't even be near each other. I wish the show was being filmed right now. We'd be 12 feet apart.
Well, if you're in your own home. If you're in your own home, but...
Now,
yes, honey.
I liked. Oh, you better go. And I got to go too. But I can't thank you enough, Frank.
Problem.
Frank, so nice to talk to you.
No
wish
problem.
You the best. Wish everybody in your family just be well. And your kids, give them a big hug. And tell them Danny Tanner
I
says hi.
I just gave my daughter one.
Okay, good. Yeah, we can't do that enough. I miss my kids so much. Two are in New York. And
and you got three, too, man.
I do. I miss them.
I listen. You know, I know you got one that's in their 30s, two that are in their late 20s.
That's
rough.
I got 33, 31, and 27, and I miss them all so much. I get to see my youngest one sometimes, which is nice. So it's
How's your daughter in New York doing? She's okay?
Yeah, both of them. Yes. Yeah, they are. They're doing okay. They're very industrious. They're artists, and one teaches yoga and doing it on Zoom, and they're just amazing people. They make me so proud. They make me know I'm a good dad just by seeing. You'll see when your kids grow up and you look at them and you're so proud of them, you'll go, my God, I can't believe this. I mean, I was a good dad, because you see what kind of kids you made, you know, what. It's luck of the draw sometimes, but it's not really. It's parenting. And I can tell that you guys are great parents. So,
well, we're trying.
Well, yeah, that's all you can do. That's all you can do. There's no formula. You just love them and drive them and keep them safe.
It is, you know, it's pretty much it's, or, you know, give them their Robux when they want to play their video games and stuff like that.
Right. And then figure out, don't let them online. Try not to.
We try, but sometimes it's rough. But
I know.
Once again, Bob, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for the call, man.
Have a good one, Frank. Stay well, man. Stay well.
Thank you.
Best to you,
you
and
too,
your family.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you again, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Bye. We'll be right back, and I'll be calling someone from south of Canada. All right, we are back. Boy, was that a good sponsor. Sponsors, because I love the plural of it all. I'm going to call somebody who has called before, and her name is Hannah, and stuff was going on with her, and she's going to give me an update. I talked to her in July. That's quite a while ago when I started calling people. Boy, it's a weird time, right? So this is Hannah.
Hey, Bob Saget.
There you go. How did you know?
Nobody else calls me from a restricted number, just you.
Oh, thank you. You know, everything I do is restricted, so thank you. How are you? I talked to you in July.
Yeah, good. I thought I'd call and give you an update.
Yes,
of
please.
What's going on.
Yeah, and tell me again where you live. Where are you?
Denver.
Right.
I live around Denver, not in Denver, but...
Right.
Yeah.
And things went upside down there since we've talked. A lot of crazy stuff.
A little bit. Yeah. Lots going on. Luckily, it didn't really affect healthcare, I guess, too much.
Right.
Things have been kind of steady that way. No worse than they were before. But, otherwise, it's been going well.
Good. Good. And how are you doing? What's my update?
So back when I talked to you, I was looking for a job, couldn't get a job because I just graduated. And I actually went a different route and I took a job in pediatric home health care.
That's
and
awesome.
So been doing that. Yeah. So I have a little girl that I take care of. She's 8. She has cerebral palsy.
Oh.
And so I just get to hang out with her all day.
That's
kind of awesome.
That's amazing. You're doing something so great. And is she just,
is she
an amazing human being?
She is. She is so cool. Except today she was grinding her teeth a little too much for me. It was giving me the heebie-jeebies.
Did she understand?
Yes and no. Like, that's one of the things she can do and she knows she can do. She can't talk or walk or anything like that, but you'll tell her, you know, stop doing that, and she'll just like do it more. So I feel like it's that preteen aggression coming out in her.
That's age appropriate. That is what that is.
It is. So we have fun, and then in October, actually, I'm starting a job as a school nurse. So that's another new adventure.
Wow,
should be interesting.
So that yeah, will be that
so
will
the
be
kids aren't in,
that'll be a lot of people, right? That's you're gonna be how many nurses going, are there at that school?
Well, just one. So I'm going from one kid to 480 kids.
Wow. That is
right now they're not at school,
right?
Because they're in a district that's doing digital learning. But the first week in October, they said kindergarten and preschoolers are going back, and then it'll be hybrid for everybody else the second week in October. So only half of the kids will be there, at least for the second quarter at a time.
That's actually good for you because you're starting something new, and that's a huge amount of kids. That's such a huge job.
I'm mildly nervous about that.
Right.
Just mildly, but it'll be okay. I have so many ideas. I already decided I'm going to make like a lost tooth hall of fame, because what do you do when you lose a tooth? You go to the school nurse. I know when my kids were little, they frequented the nurse's office. They're still little, but like little. And the nurse would like give them a wet paper towel to fix it, and it fixed it. So I got to remember all the tricks.
Are you going to make like
nothing I learned in school?
Are you going to have a trophy case or like a jeweler's case with teeth in it?
Oh man, that would be great. I might have to do that.
But then the problem is they can't put it under the pillow for the tooth fairy then if they left it at school.
That's true. I'd have to make like take a picture or make a mold or something out of it. That sounds creepy though.
No, it's not good. Yeah, or a necklace.
Yeah,
so that
sounds super creepy.
That makes you're an essential person. I mean, it's I only went to the school nurse once. And that's because I got in a fight with a kid who was really a bully, and we started fighting. And I had to fight him because he called me out, and he was calling me a Jew, and it was terrible. It was in Virginia, and I kept saying, "I'm not even a Jew." No, I am, but that was my argument. But then he like started. He kicked me in the crotch, and my nose started to bleed. And then the joke was my dad told me that it's just one long muscle that it just. It's connected. And then I went to the nurse crying, you know, and the other kid, I beat him up some, but I didn't like take him out. But he was a really bad kid. And he must have had horrible parents to be that racist and terrible. And he was.
I wonder what he's up to now.
I thought about it, but I don't even want to say his name because he'll come running, you know. I messed up his elbows and payback is a biatch, so I don't want that. But then the nurse didn't do anything. The nurse just put a Kleenex on my nose and said, "Go home." That was it.
Wet paper towel. I mean, it's trick.
It's all paper towels, the whole thing. Kids are held together with paper towels.
I went to school for 4 years to use that.
That's so funny.
It'll be good. Yeah. So I'm pretty excited, yeah. I went to the school nurse a lot when I was younger. I don't know, and that's now passed on to my children, but right. I never was actually sick. It was like, I didn't really feel like going to school, so I would just say I didn't feel good. Then my mom would come get me.
Yeah, I know, and I used to say I didn't want to go, and there were days that it's just because I didn't want to go, and some of it was because I was getting bullied, so that was one of the reasons. Really weird.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to go either.
I don't understand how kids I don't understand why people do it. I don't understand why parents.
I don't either. I could never be mean. Like I feel bad if I like accidentally take somebody's parking spot or something. I don't understand how little kids can be mean like that.
I've done things like that before, but that was in my 30s. And I think I just, my ego was it was out of control. But I don't understand. I don't understand cruelty to other people, and we've got so much of it right now.
No.
It's just out of control.
I know.
I mean, it breaks your heart.
How are the fires over there?
Well, in L.A. where I am, we have residue. We have the smoke in the air, but we don't have you know, we don't have what's up north, which is catastrophe. You know, they say they're not going to be out till end of October because there's so many.
That is awful.
It's
We've had our fair share, but we got a snow last week randomly, and now it's 90 degrees today. But
there's no environmental change. There's nothing going on. There's nothing to worry about.
No, why?
There's no global warming.
No,
why
I don't
would
know
there
what?
Be? Let's just drill all
That's
the oil.
Really funny that
drill the oil out
on
of
the
earth.
TV.
Yeah, where's clean coal when you need it?
No kidding. Ah,
clean geez. Coal?
I don't even know
what that... What? We don't have it. I don't know. It's like he was running on... He ran on that. On clean coal. Maybe he meant old King coal. Maybe he was talking about himself. I don't know.
Wait, that's Nat King Cole. That's like the guy
that's a genius. Song. That's the best singer of all time, Nat King Cole.
He sang
Smile, that beautiful song. Charlie Chaplin wrote that song.
Right.
That's an interesting.
He did? I had no idea.
Yeah, most people don't. He wrote that song, Smile. It was in one of his movies. I think it was The Great Dictator, but I'm not sure. But I'm wrong a lot, but at least I fact-checked myself because I can know when I got fake news.
And then you can be like, oh, whoops, sorry, I was wrong.
Yeah, right? Easily.
Or not, maybe. Yeah.
No, I always say I'm wrong. I'm constantly wrong. I mean, I've been right about a lot, though. I could tell an evil person from the moment that their self-involvement knows no bounds. But the good news is you're going to be, you're helping this wonderful child, and now you're going to be helping a lot of children. Are you going to be able to still help the kid you're working with cerebral palsy?
No, but I actually, long story short, I took their cat because their mom's getting married and her fiance's allergic to cats. So now they like have to be tied to me because I have their cat.
Oh, that's so cool. So
I'll still get to like stop by and say hello.
It's
and,
important.
Because I love her. She's so sweet. Like in this little bit I've been there, I've, you know, definitely got a bond with her and her family. You know, I sit with her grandma a lot of the day too because her grandma's there. And we bond over Price is Right and all kinds of fun things that you do in the middle of the day.
Right. Well,
and
it's,
so, yeah.
It's really
I'll
good
still have
for
that
her.
Connection.
That's really, really good that you're not just gone
yeah.
from her life because it's very hard for kids, young adults, anybody in that position where they get close with somebody. So that's great.
I agree. And they actually moved here from Tennessee a few years ago. And they haven't had like a steady nurse yet. So I kind of felt bad leaving, but I also recognize opportunity. I always wanted to be a school nurse and then didn't think I would be able to start out doing that. But apparently they thought I could make it. So.
Did you go to that school and apply at that school, or do you have to go to a school board to do it?
No, it's the district. So actually, I know one of the school nurses. I go to church with her, and she said, hey, just apply. There's a couple jobs. So I applied, and there was a job at a high school and one at a preschool to eighth grade. And I had like an hour and 45-minute long interview with these guys. And it was fun. It was over Zoom. We had a good time chatting. I was pretty sure I'd get it. And then they wanted me to take the high school job, but I just wasn't quite ready for that.
That's really hard, especially now.
It's a lot of different.
It's going to be a cage match once they all get back.
Yeah.
And what about...
So I said I'll take the...
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the kids that they've got you. It sounds like a wonderful... It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful time in your life is what it sounds like.
I'm pretty excited. It's the Clyde Miller Cougars. Gonna have to get some gear.
I have a question for you about church. So when you go, is it socially distanced or what's the state of affairs with that?
Yeah, and ours is different. It's a super small neighborhood church. And it's actually my old neighborhood where I moved from. But and like we meet at the high school in the auditorium. But throughout the summer, we met, well, at first we were just doing online. And then I think in June, we started meeting outside on a soccer field. And so everybody just brought their own chairs and wore masks and stayed 6 feet apart. And we had kiddos, and I actually teach the kids ministry a couple times a month. And so we did temperature checks and kids wore masks and we just were outside on the playground playing games. Just this week, I think, was the first week, yeah. We went inside, still kind of same rules apply. You have to wear masks and kind of stay apart, but it's not a hard thing to do with our area because there's like 20 people at the church and it's a huge auditorium.
Right.
So we kind of have lucked out that way in that we're a smaller kind of little community church. So we didn't, I mean, we will follow the rules to a T. Like, there's no question. I'm good friends. I usually actually work with the pastor at a school. And so we're, he actually kind of asked me some questions about it. I was on his service one online version talking about COVID and stuff. So it's been good.
It's wonderful that you can have that collective and that connection with other people, and then also be able to have your faith, which is able to bring you all together, especially during hard times.
It is. It's so helpful. And like, I feel like every time I go, I like, I'm getting some sort of message. I remember a few weeks before I got my position at the school, there was a message about like, you know, your plan, you can't like plan your life. Like, things happen and it's just what's supposed to happen. And at that point I was still kind of pissed. I hadn't gotten the job of my dreams yet. And then I was like, oh great, they're talking to me. Like, here I am being greedy, wanting to have a super cool job. And then I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, I'm not like a super like religious nut or anything. Like, it's just something we do, and I find peace in it, I guess. It just kind of helps me along.
Well, you're helping other people. So, that's the best. I'm so happy to talk to you again. I mean, you actually, this is a huge difference from the last time we spoke. It's very, very inspiring.
I know.
To me. I'm really,
you must be good luck.
I hope so. I like to spread as much positivity as I can, because I'm done with negativity. I just can't take it. I'm just done. It's just enough. I can't even listen to the anger and the rhetoric and the stupidity of people. We need to.
I was done like a year and a half ago.
Done when in 2016 I was done. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Just lowered the IQ of the whole country.
I have a really junky, like, old Honda Civic, and I told my husband, just goes, shut up. I told him the other day, I was like, I don't know how I haven't thought of this, but I'm bumper stickering the crap out of the back of that. Because old car, so I'm just going to slap him on there.
Well, we don't have long, and so we got to figure it out.
I know.
And we don't know what's going to happen. That's the other thing. That's why so many people are scared.
I don't even want to think about it.
Because everybody's using fear tactics on us. And, you know, fear is the enemy, and FDR said it, Kennedy said it. I think it was rephrased from much earlier. I think Lincoln said it, but the only thing you have to fear is fear itself, because fear is the enemy. And it'll destroy you.
I know.
And if you use it as a tactic, you are not a good person. You're just not a good person, because fear is not.
Agreed.
And it's coming from all sides. So, you know, it's not just one-sided. It's like, well, but then again, this will happen. You'll get sores on your face if you vote for that person. <It's>
like, I bought a t-shirt today, and this is a shameless plug. My cousins have a t-shirt business. It's called the Good Pup Society.
Right.
And I bought a t-shirt that said pups are better than politicians. And so that's in the mail.
Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. But there are a few good politicians, but it's hard to find them.
There are. I agree. But pups are generally better.
Oh, how do you not like a pup better than a politician? My God.
Right.
Now, I would vote for Garfield. That's a cat. Never mind.
Yeah, well, Odie is the dog. But yeah. He was kind of a jerk.
Garfield? Yeah, he was. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ate lasagna and caused problems.
Yeah, he was really, God, I shouldn't have used him as an example at all. He was funny, though. He was like the beginning of BoJack Horseman type of attitude. You know, kind of depressed. Yeah. Kind of blasé.
Yeah, if you can't tell, I was kind of into Garfield. I don't know. That was definitely my time.
Yeah, yeah.
We love Garfield.
And I'm allergic to cats. I don't even want one for president. But a nice pup would be good. It'd be nice. Now the president of the United States, and there's a little puppy right behind the microphone, and it doesn't do anything. It just sniffs around. Someone holds it, or maybe.
And everyone would be like, "Oh, that's so cute," and then everybody would be happy.
I'd vote for Kermit the Frog. I'd so vote for him. If you can get a reality host, why can't you have a puppet? I mean, some of them are puppets anyway. I don't either. Well, Hannah, I'm so thrilled to talk to you again. I'm so happy for you.
I know. I'm so glad you called. It was fun. I like talking with you.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Well, I look forward to hearing how it works out with being the school nurse, and I want to hear some of those stories that you won't name names, but it's going to be interesting because you're going to have little kids with all kinds of stuff happening. And I wish everybody a lot of health. A lot of health, too, because you'll be responsible for
it. Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good one.
I'll hit you up when you're in Denver.
I will be there. I'm coming back to the Comedy Works, and it'll be next year. So it's on the books already, but I don't know. But I know I'm coming back.
Cool. Sounds good.
Take care. Congratulations, and be well.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. All right. We'll be right back. That's what we're going to do. So that's our show. I think this is a show. It's a podcast, but I believe it's a show. It's a program. My mother would sit and watch television with a big bowl of ice cream. It's my program. So that was after she passed. So that was quite gross. Sorry, everybody. Sorry. I can't help myself sometimes. So this is me telling you to do what you need to do, which is rate, review, subscribe, or follow. You can do that. Call that number up at the top when I announce on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook that I'm going to be calling you guys. And I hope you're hanging in there and staying well. And I'm sending you lots of good thoughts, everybody. And Bill Burr hates that. He says I shouldn't be all sincere and stuff. But you know what? Fuck Bill Burr, because I want to so bad. He's so hot. I swear to God, I want to hold his head and just rub it and get all my wishes. He's damn funny. Damn, is he funny. Anyway, this is Bob Sackett's here for you. Please listen to Bill Burr's podcast because it's the Monday Morning Podcast, and Bill and Bert podcast because they're great together. So I'm not promoting mine. Please listen to Bill Burr, and Bob Sackett's here for you as well. Take it easy, everybody.